Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right. Start of the basketball season tonight. John Crispin joins us. So Jack Ham looks at me the other day, says, "So who's really good in college basketball this year?" And I said, "Jack, it's the same guys every year." I mean, how wrong was I?
No, I mean, seriously, the real answer to that question is who knows? That's what a real expert should tell you.
Yes.
Like, who knows? And the thing is, we live in this world where everybody has to have, like, an answer in a tweet, and it doesn't exist. It's not that simple, right? There are so many complexities.
Were you in my class today? This is what I was talking about in my class today. I said, ignore that stuff.
Look, I sit in. This is a digital world, Steve. Everybody's watching. But I really think that we're onto something here, because we have this idea that there are experts, and experts know exactly what's going to happen. The truth is, an expert knows what he doesn't know more so than knows what he knows, right? Like, that's the truth in this game, because of the endless, like, the infinite amount of variables in the game today. And the variables are less about sports than anyone understands, right? They're social dynamics, they're personal, interpersonal dynamics, right? It's the chemistry of a team. Not about who they are on the basketball team. People ask me, like, what are you looking for early from teams? And I was like, I want to see the social dynamics of the team. And they're like, what do you mean the social dynamics of the team? They think I'm making a political statement. That's how stupid we are today. They think I'm making a political statement when I say the social dynamics of a team. And I said, guys, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how they interact with one another. What type of personal chemistry do these guys have, given the fact that you just met each other 3-4 months ago?
Which guys are willing to be an all-star in their role if they're not given a starring role with a team? Because they can wreck the entire chemistry of a team if they develop an attitude about it.
Steve, even worse, what happens to the guys that were supposed to be the stars, but it turns out this year they're not, because we brought two new pieces in that we didn't know what to expect from them. They played someplace else, right? Like, Johnny Juzang at UCLA is just such a great example.
Sure,
the success they had is something that you should pay attention to, because he went and got coached. He got humbled. He went someplace else and said, I'll do whatever it takes. And that's what worked. And he grew into the role that he created for himself, and he did so with humility. And that's the example I hope people pay attention to. The problem is, we only pay attention to, like, the Chet Holmgrens of the world, as if we're going to replicate that, right? You can't replicate just born greatness. You have to replicate a model that actually works, and what works is something that allows you to win, not just get your numbers. And it's just a tough thing to coach these days. I feel for coaches, if that's even possible, right?
Like,
you know, we're not supposed to feel badly for coaches, right? They're the evil multimillionaires that we've kind of portrayed in this broken false narrative around the game, when in reality, like, these are people that can help you grow. And if they do their job really well, you will love them like family. And I hope we can change that narrative over time.
Well, what's made the narrative different to me is, and this goes back to the grad transfers, we'll start with that. You are now adding in experience pieces that, when you bring them in, had success someplace else. And the question is, can they have success with you? How do they fit with you? How do they fit with your locker room? How do they fit with your style? You can talk about it all you want, but there's practical application, and it doesn't always work out.
Well, look, I always said, like, before, and this is kind of pre-transfer portal, but just like when you're recruiting, you've got to find good fit guys, you know, guys that understand who you are and what you want to do, and they fit your system. There's a place for them, even if the role is not as great as they want it to be. But there's also a pathway to a bigger role. So, like, they're good fit guys. Today, we need right fit guys. And I know it sounds like semantics and you know, little play on words, but the reality is you need the right fit guys. And the right fit is all about the place. It is about the people they're going to be around. It's about how they feel every single day where they're at. And sometimes the right fit is the guy that has no place else to go, right? Where you sit there and say, I know he's been humbled. I know what his potential is. That's the guy that I want in my locker room. He's been around. He understands what it takes. And sometimes the right fit may be a guy that you say, hey, look, this guy is a star level player, but he needs to come here to realize it, right? It's less about what you think it's about, right? It's like, oh, well, his style fits what we want to do well.
Right.
Well, those days are over. It's as simple as that. Like, You need to fit where you're at. You need to fit with the people. And it's not just the people in your locker room. It's not just the people in the basketball office. It's the people at the university. You've got to like where you're at because those things do matter.
And they matter a lot. And then, you know, this is what everyone makes an assumption with teams that there are carryovers.
Yeah.
All right. And you and I have done this long enough where you and I both know that every team is an entity unto itself because people exit and take personality with them. Yep. People enter and they bring personality into the locker room with them. And it changes every team, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the better, yep, and sometimes not.
Yes. That, and you know what? Look, it sounds so similar to what Joe and I talk about a lot, is how this is really becoming more of a European professional model than it is the precursor to the NBA.
Right, I agree.
Where year in, year out, you don't know what you're working with. And look, I have weird predictions around this. Like, I think as we get through some of this, we start to see the separation of football and everybody else, and then we almost find our actual market value for college basketball. And at that point, we probably see less coaches making $5, $10 million a year. But maybe things come back to a point where we go, okay, basketball has a value that is not as much as we thought it was. And the irony there is, I think we'll actually like the game again. I think we've gotten what we wish for, right? We're the dog chasing cars, you know, just chase the car until we catch it, and then we have no idea what to do with it. Like, we got what we wanted, name, image, and likeness, all this other stuff. Well, it's a total mess. And at some point, we need to realize that college basketball isn't college football. It needs to be in a market of its, in and of its own, based on the value that it actually has. Because I feel like we are victim to hypothetical value right now, right? We're victim to perceived value because of the money that's flowing through these athletic departments that flows down to college basketball. It's not the actual value of the sport itself. So I do think if we are going to go this route where things are really more about business, in the end, it could actually help college basketball, not without first taking a couple steps back, though.
Well, this is where college basketball to me is financially. There is, we all know what football is in terms of the driver economically, right?
Yeah.
We also know what the other sports are as the financial drain economically.
Yes.
Right? Yep. I'm not insulting anybody here. I'm talking reality here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In other words, all the balance sheets of all the other sports are red, right? All of them. Okay. And then there's college basketball, men's college basketball. Okay. Okay. Men's college basketball. And men's college basketball is the 1B, but it's in that middle ground between the drain and the driver, and that's what it is. And if you have good men's basketball, that is a really good supplement financially. It can help a lot of other programs out, and I'm talking about other programs in your own athletic department.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is it's starting to sound more and more like amateur athletics. Where Joe always said this too. It's funny. He goes, "Well, amateur athletics is when you don't make any money." It's when you pay for these things to be able to take place. It's like a high school, right? A high school is amateur athletics. They don't make money. They lose it.
Right.
Like, even that paycheck, that $6,000 or $7,000 they pay their head basketball coach to coach the team that year, like, they're sitting there going, "Oh man, that's just a lot for us to take.
We better win."
Right.
For that number, we better win.
Right? So we don't understand that, like, college basketball has gone down this road where you see the facilities, you see the money, you see private jets, you see Ritz-Carltons, you see all this stuff, and you go, "Guys, is it really this good, or are we trying to live up to something that we're not? Are we living beyond our means?" And the reality is, we likely are. Now, is that such a bad thing? Not really, sort of.
I don't know if men's basketball is beyond its means. Because if you're making money, you're not living beyond your means.
It does if we separate from football.
Because if you are looking at the distributions, one of the things that hurt a lot of athletic departments when you see them in the red right now was the COVID year not getting the NCAA tournament check.
Yes.
Right? And that drove home the importance of men's basketball in your athletic department. because everybody got the insurance check and not the full check. And that meant people had to like tighten their belts. And that's, I think did send a message that, hey, look, but you don't give them everything they want. But you don't have to stay in the rich. You can stay over at the Courtyard. You're fine.
But couple that with what's to come, because with NIL, this is money that is just changing where it goes.
Well, that's because
like, people think that
when they did it, John, when they did it, you and I both know when they did it, and we talked about this before they did it. So this is not John and I are not having a foreign conversation here. Hey, look, they've done NIL, so post NIL, we're going to talk about it. John and I talked about this about a year before they did it. When they do it, right? It's going to be the Wild West, and that it's going to bring with it issues people don't realize. And John, that's exactly what happened, like you and I talked about.
Yeah, I mean, look, where it's predictable, it's preventable. Yet you can't prevent people from doing what people want to do. There's been so much agenda around our game, and it's been from individuals, it's been from entities, and I think that it's funny how we do. And this is not a political statement other than a realistic statement.
Sure.
We follow the example ahead of us. And in so many ways, this divisiveness within our country, it leads to divisive arguments about everything. Like, I can't make a statement about where I think college basketball is headed without receiving some sort of strong opposition with hate. And I'm sitting there going, no, it's just a perspective. I might be wrong, and that's okay. But we can't even have conversations about the realities we're facing, and that scares me, because that means all the people in the NCAA are just fighting for their own existence, and players are fighting for their own existence, and coaches are going to fight for their own existence.
Right.
And somewhere in there, me as a broadcaster is going, wait, I still like this job. Let me fight for my existence. So we have been riddled with personal agenda at every level, and that, to me, is the biggest threat to our game. Is not a united front, and we are not united in this, and that's what frustrates me the most as we celebrate the start of college basketball. It's like, you know, this is a great thing still. It's not that bad.
Right?
Oh, these poor kids, like, they're being taken care of, and I'm sure there are things that they could use more, but let's be serious, man. There's still a lot to offer in the world of college basketball.
Look, John, one of the biggest, in the last 10 years, somebody was mentioned the word fraud earlier, was when Shabazz Napier talked about, a lot of times we go hungry. Right?
Yeah.
Remember 2014 down in Dallas, he did that.
Yep.
John, you and I are around it all the time. How much food is thrown out every year?
And how many times do you walk out with a case of Gatorade from the locker?
During the off season, maybe I can buy that. Okay. You know, there's no training table, things like that. I got certain stuff. I understand that. But, right, the people asking the questions, you got to know the landscape. And they asked the questions and didn't know the landscape, right?
Well, they don't,
sit there and be the national beat writer for college basketball and not know that snack is a buffet.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes. Well, but see,
how could you not know that?
It goes back to whatever narrative I can spin. And that's, I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, look. Politics to me is nothing but it's a reality television show these days.
I know.
And you either like or you hate them. And that's just the way it is. But the problem is that's kind of how everything has gotten, where it's like, how can I phrase this argument so that it suits my needs and my agenda and what I think should happen here, even though
I know.
Actually know anything. Like and here am I, someone who's actually deeply rooted in the game, saying, I don't know that much.
Right.
Like, holy smokes, what is going on when you have, you know, a 23-year-old who just graduated saying, well, I'm the new beat writer for this, and I'm going to write this piece that's going to get everybody fired up, and the reality is none of it's true. Like, it's killing our game, and we are just hurting ourselves. We're hurting the things that we love the most, and I think that to me is the lunacy that we have to face.
And you and I love the sport more than ever, like, because we love being around the games, the competition, the winning and losing. All this other stuff doesn't mean much to me.
No.
Okay.
No, and it comes and it goes.
Yeah.
Year to year. Just it comes and goes. And I think we demonize things that do serve us well. And we demonize them with whatever agenda we want to bring to the table.
And I love the games. This is knock on wood, but I mean, this is my 41st season doing Penn State basketball. Mm-hmm. I love doing the games more today than I did last year or in my first year. Because I love doing the games.
Except 2000, 2001. That was a special time.
Except for 2001. Such a special time, yes.
Special group. Great guys.
I mean the best.
Not difficult at all. Coachable.
Never once, asked me for favors.
Nope, never.
Could you talk to Jerry for me?
Oh, man, that's amazing. But those are the things,
right?
That
know what I'm talking about with that one.
That's what made it so special, though. And right. I think that's what people – there are so many layers. There's layer upon layer that you don't see that you would kill to be a part of. And all the while you're going to hate college basketball and hate the evil NCAA and the evil coaches who make all this money and they can leave when they want to – all that's fine, but just know that there are real people being served very well in the system as it is today, and there will always be changes that take place because, look, we're human. We will progress, and sometimes our progression is a digression, but that's okay.
It's interesting. You and I both know that if we ask the average player, football, basketball, so let's leave other sports out of it for a moment.
Yep.
The scholarship, right? Food, the training, the whole thing, they feel like they have a really good deal. You and I both know that. We've talked to them. It's like, hey, it's just a pretty good deal. We're here. Hey, we can get some little extra money too. Hey, great.
until you convince them otherwise. And that's what frustrates me. There are too many people that have a personal agenda in convincing kids otherwise.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, capitalize on this opportunity. Don't waste this. Yeah. Right? Appreciate
right.
it.
Exactly.
Find humility.
Yes.
Work hard. Be held accountable. Be better because of your experience. Stop complaining. Stop being a victim. There's too many victims in this world. There's a lot of billionaires who are victims. I'm tired of hearing it. Go be a star in this world. Be better, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand. These are the things that make me want to coach, but I'm concerned with the direction this thing's going. I really am. I think we're going to have a tough couple years here of trying to figure out all these issues that are really not issues, but again, it's a few individuals who are making it their in his personal endeavor to change the world, for their better.
Great talking with you as always.
Yeah, I know. By the way, there's games being played.
Yeah, I've got one tonight.
So. I know, me too. I'm at Illinois. I got Illinois tonight.
And who's Illinois have tonight?
Eastern Illinois.
And Penn State's got Winthrop tonight, which actually is not a bad opening matchup. So
no, not at all. Not at all.
All right. Thank you, sir. A pleasure. Are you at the I Hotel right now? Where are you?
No, I'm not at the I. I'm at a Hyatt Regency downtown.
Okay. Now I know where you are.
Under a fake name, of course. The amount of Illini fans are just
Joe
flooding here.
Yeah, Joe Crispin.
Joe Crispin. The real expert.
Just ask him. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, he's actually good on radio. But
I know he is.
We come from a bunch of teachers, so he's not just a good radio guy. He's a good teacher.
Yeah, I know.
People should listen. It's actually pretty good. And that's me saying that.
The best coaches are great teachers.
Yeah, that's very true.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. Anytime.